Radio Network.
This is Kim Kasnick, Office Manager for IE America Radio Network, hoping you and your family have a happy holiday.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A car exploded in the Saudi capital of Riyadh on Monday night, witnesses said. There were no immediate reports of casualties. The Dubai-based Al Arabiya satellite channel said the explosion occurred under a car owned by a police officer who had parked outside a mosque. The blast destroyed the car and shattered windows in nearby buildings, Al Arabiya's correspondent in Riyadh reported. The Bush administration faced growing pressure on Monday to roll out stricter regulations to prevent another case of mad cow disease as officials tried to convince Japan and other major buyers to resume buying billions of dollars worth of U.S. beef. White House officials were worried about both the political fallout and the economic impact the disease could have at a time when the U.S. economy is showing signs of strength. The White House was looking at various regulatory options, but was wary of taking a dramatic step too quickly, an administration official said. Democratic presidential hopeful Wesley Clark's new television commercial includes a clip of him and Bill Clinton. It's the first ad of the 2004 campaign to include an image of the former president, arguably America's most popular Democrat. The clip is only a few seconds long and shows Clinton walking from a podium at the White House to place the Presidential Medal of Freedom over Clark's head, honoring his fellow Arkansan for his work in Kosovo as NATO's Supreme Allied Commander. Campaign advisors say the ad is meant to illustrate that Clark would be the kind of leader who not only has seen ordinary people do extraordinary things in their lifetimes, but who has been honored for such accomplishments. Cyber blackmail artists are shaking down office workers, threatening to delete computer files or install pornographic images on their work PCs unless they pay a ransom, according to police and security experts in the UK. The extortion scam, which is believed to have surfaced 1 year ago, indiscriminately targets anyone on the corporate ladder with a PC connected to the Internet. Blackmailers typically demand that unless a small fee is paid, they will attack the PC with a file wiping program or download onto the machine images of child pornography. More news after this.
Hi, my name's Maria, and I'm alive today because I was given CPR last year by Rick,
who took a class with the Red Cross after I received blood from Jamal, who gave blood
after being encouraged by my friend Angela,
who helped Jamal's whole family get the help and support they needed after losing their home to a fire.
When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. By getting involved with the Red Cross, you never know how many people your actions will affect. To get involved, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
The mother of a 2-year-old who hurt himself on a playground in Stamford, Connecticut, is suing the city for income she says the toddler is losing because the injury prevents him from working as a model. Dina Mater filed a claim last week saying she wants compensation for her child's medical bills, pain and suffering, and a lost wage amount due to his inability to audition or take modeling or commercial jobs while his head heals. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
At last, the golden age of television is upon us. But alas, this is not the golden age of TV quality, but literally the age of TV gold, when advertisers have become the programming. Leading the way is Disney's ABC television network, which has now opened its expanse of our public airwaves to complete domination by sponsors. I don't mean just the ads that sponsors run on its shows, or even the not-so-subtle placement of sponsors' products in the shows, but rather sponsors that become the featured character of the show. Sears has stepped out as the first of ABC's new advertising stars, putting itself forward as the centerpiece of the network's latest reality show called Extreme Makeover: Home Edition. Not that Sears has any actual dramatic talent, but it does have more than $1 million that it paid to ABC to write the corporation into the script of this six-part series portraying stories of home renovation. The actual actors will be using Sears tools in their work, adding Sears appliances to the renovated homes and decorating with Sears furniture. If that's too subtle for viewers, there'll also be Sears trucks delivering merchandise. Branded workers from Sears Home Improvement Centers will occasionally arrive on the scene, and the show's cast will make trips to Sears for supplies. The commercially crass rationale for this all-Sears show is that advertisers need a way to outfox you TV viewers who are using your clickers to zap past those annoying commercial breaks. So forget the ads. The sponsors will be the shows. To fabricate this great leap forward, ABC even has a senior vice president for integrated marketing and promotion. He assures us that while, quote, Sears plays a role in the personality of the show, ABC would never take it to the point where it would seem like a bunch of logos slapped in a show. This is Jim Hightower saying, see, there still are a few artistic standards in television.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie.
Yeah.
Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing low, life's
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
With special guest host, Tony Trupiano.
And welcome one and all. Tony Trupiano with you on this Monday evening, the 29th day of December, '03. Just a couple more days left in the year. We've got a good show lined up for you. I want to let you know that we're going to be open lines in this first hour. If you'd like to join us, I'm going to throw some topics out in just a moment. The number to join us, 1-800-825-5937. That's 1-800-825-5937. And of course, email, always an acceptable way to interact on this program. And that email address, tony@thetonyshow.com. tony@thetonyshow.com. I will be in tomorrow night as well. Mike will be back live on Friday. We've got some rebroadcasts after tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to do a roundtable discussion, some guests in studio, some guests out of studio, take a look at the year that was the 2003 and what it means to you and I. And so you'll want to stay tuned for that tomorrow night. We're also going to save a seat for you so that you can interact as well. Again, the number 1-800-825-5937 and the email address tony@thetonyshow.com. Couple things I want to get to, and I'm sure that as you've listened to radio today, although this is not politically related, you heard a lot about the Michael Jackson interview on CBS's 60 Minutes last night. I did watch the interview because I was curious, as many people were, apparently not that many because it wasn't the rating success that CBS hoped it would be. But I was curious to see what Michael Jackson would have to say in his defense, and there was a lot of there was a lot of normalcy, and that's not a word we often hear in regard to Michael Jackson, but there was a lot of normalcy with respect to the answers he gave. Were the questions fed? Were the answers rehearsed? I guess that's very possible. But there was some, it does leave a lot of questions in my mind. My question to you is, do you believe that Michael Jackson's a pedophile? Do you think this is much ado about nothing? I mean, is the guy just really freaking weird and we need to get over it? I think that there's some truth to that as well. But I do not believe that this guy is a pedophile, to be honest with you. I just don't get the impression that he is. I don't think he is that stupid. He is very childlike in so many ways, perhaps a bit naive. Bill Vellner, who is more than ably standing by at the board tonight, and will be taking your calls as you want to interact with us. We're talking about this before the show. I just don't see this as a credible charge against him. And yeah, I mean, you if you listen again, listen to Radio Watch TV today. They were tearing apart the interview, saying that there were too many inconsistencies and facts that don't add up into his interview. The reality is, I just don't see it. I just don't get it. Looking at, as I'm preparing for tomorrow's show, looking at like the top stories of 2003, Michael Jackson's among there. By the way, what was voted among sports writers the top story of 2003, the Kobe Bryant case, which I found to be quite shocking because, again, I don't know that it's that. I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, a rape allegation's a big deal, but I don't see that that's the top sports story because it's not a sports story of 2003. We'll get into that a little bit more tomorrow night, but do you think that Michael Jackson handled himself well? If you saw the interview, do you even care anymore? Do you even care? Do you think he's stupid enough to molest a child in his own bed? I mean, is that possible? A couple more issues on my mind as I was looking toward the primary season, which begins just a few short weeks from today. One of the things that we know for a fact at this point is that Howard Dean, although doing very well in Iowa and New Hampshire, the gap is closing between Howard Dean and Dick Gephardt in Iowa. On this program and past programs I've done, we have talked about the Gephardt-Kerry-Lieberman factor, if you will. And many of you had voiced some concern about them as presidential candidates, that if they were to go against George Bush, you didn't feel there was any way they could win. Of course, many are saying that about Howard Dean as well. We did talk briefly on Friday night about the Kucinich factor, and people need to stop talking as if candidates can't win races before the primary season even begins. But the Democratic Party is in disarray right now, seemingly without strong leadership, as they lost a lot of gubernatorial elections. Certainly the midterm elections were lost to the Republicans as well. What is it going to take for the Democratic Party to prop up what it is they're doing and what it is they need to do to win the White House? Do you believe the Democrats can take back the White House? That is the question I'm asking you. That is truly the question I'm asking you. So those are a couple issues that are on my mind on this Monday evening. Again, our number 1-800-825-5937 and the email tony@thetonyshow.com. Just to remind you and let you know, a little later on in this hour, L. Martin will be joining, or not this hour, next hour, L. Martin will be joining us. Many of you had, when you found out that I was in for Mike for a few days, emailed me and asked me to get Al on. I've got him on in the next hour of the show, and he'll stay with us as long as we'd like him to. So you'll want to keep that in mind as well. Also read an interesting story today, which just goes to show you that all kinds of strange and wonderful things happen when you have a Department of Homeland Security. The FBI is warning police nationwide to be alert for people carrying almanacs. That's right. If you see someone carrying an almanac, you better be careful. Got to watch out for those almanac-clad people. Cautioning that the popular reference books covering everything from abbreviations to weather trends could be used for terrorist planning. Yeah, I often say, you know, it's true. It's true. If somebody's got an almanac, they must be a terrorist. It was a bulletin that was sent out Christmas Eve to about 18,000 police organizations. The FBI said terrorists may use almanacs to assist with target selection and pre-operational planning. It urged officials to watch during searches, traffic stops, and other investigations for anyone carrying almanacs, especially if the books are annotated in suspicious ways. So if it's got like it's dog-eared and you actually used your almanac, because I know lots of people buy them just to have them to put them in the bathroom, right, Bill? That's normally where they end up. But if somebody's carrying an almanac, we are now to be suspicious of them. According to the FBI, the practice of researching potential targets is consistent with known methods of Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations that seek to maximize the likelihood of operational success through careful planning. The Associated Press obtained a copy of the bulletin this week after verifying its authenticity, because apparently the AP couldn't believe that they actually did this as well. For local law enforcement, it's just to help give them one more piece of information to raise their suspicions. This was according to David Heyman, a terrorist expert for the Washington-based Center for Strategic and International Studies. It helps make sure one more bad guy doesn't get away from a traffic stop, maybe gives police a little bit more reason to follow up on this. Yeah, that old suspicious almanac. The publishers of the Old Farmer's Almanac said today that terrorists would probably find statistical reference books more useful than the collections of Americana in its famous publication on weather predictions and witticisms. While we doubt that our editorial contact would be of particular interest to people who would wish to do us harm, we will certainly cooperate to the fullest with national authorities at any level they deem appropriate, said publisher John Pierce. I've interviewed John Pierce. Trust me, he's a pretty harmless guy. The FBI said information typically found in almanacs could be useful for terrorists, including profiles of cities and states and information about waterways, bridges, dams, reservoirs, tunnels, buildings, and landmarks. It said this information is often accompanied by photographs and maps. I'll bet you the Farmer's Almanac people are pretty happy that the FBI issued this warning. The FBI urged police to report such discoveries to local U.S. and joint terrorism task forces. I have an almanac, Bill. Do you have an almanac? Mailing list. I'm on the mailing list for the Farmer's Almanac for the show. Because I, you know, when I was doing just a general talk radio, I'd have the Farmer's Almanac people on all the time. John Pierce is a guy I've probably interviewed 10 times. And I'm going to go back home and find my Farmer's Almanac and just see what kind of terrorist tool it is. I was reading another story today about this Padilla guy that was picked up in Chicago as a terrorist suspect. And one of the reasons they picked him up is because he was carrying tools that terrorists might carry, including duct tape, wire, and a soldering gun and soldering equipment. It just so happens that he was a plumber, and they actually sell that kit at Ace Hardware, the exact same kit. But this is the same guy that has not been allowed to see his family or talk to a lawyer. But they're keeping him because he's a terror suspect, and he'd never been to Chicago before. So now, if you carry an almanac and you've never been to a town before, you are going to be in big, big, big trouble. So keep that in mind. Our number again, 1-800-825-5937. The email, tony@thetonyshow.com. You can join us any way that you'd like to do that. Pleasure to be with you as always. Just very quickly on a sports note, my own Detroit Lions won yesterday. They beat those St. Louis Rams. It was a big deal for us, and it's always nice to play spoiler. I was actually watching the Green Bay-Denver game thinking, you know, it looked like Minnesota was going to beat Arizona, which, of course, did not happen. And Green Bay snuck into the playoffs. But I was thinking, you know, it's kind of cool if you're going to suck as a football team, which the Detroit Lions certainly do. They've kind of ruined things for the Rams because they lost home field advantage. And I thought, well, man, they're going to ruin things for Green Bay, because had they had not lost that Thanksgiving Day game, Green Bay would have been the odds-on favorite, of course, to win the division, which they did by sneaking. They snuck in at the last, and literally the last second of the Arizona game is what got them in there. So just a quick side note for all of us football crazy people out there. Some of the stuff that I'm going to get to now, we're going to talk about a little more extensively with Al Martin in the next hour, but in the meantime, let's talk a bit about the economy. NASDAQ closed above 2,000 today, first time in over 21 months. And I guess, you know, there's a lot of information that might lead you to believe that, you know, there's some good economic news coming down the pike. The reality is we are still in a mess employment-wise. More than 3 million people now out of jobs. One of the things Al Martin's going to talk about in the next hour, he and I were talking this morning, is that the Bush administration has created 300,000 new jobs in the last 5 months. It cost them $1 trillion, bless you, Bill, it cost them $1 trillion to do that. And in the process of doing that, if they would have paid those 300,000 people $50,000 a year's year not to work, it would have cost less money. But that's all right. Let's create them new jobs. All right. Let's talk about whether the Democrats can take back the White House, about Michael Jackson, anything that's on your mind. 1-800-825-5937. Tony at thetonyshow.com. We'll be right back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If he's got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If he's got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling spotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
The Tom Hartman Show.
JR in Victorville, California is on the line.
In California, there's a group called California Budget Project. They did a survey on the hourly wages for all groups, public and private. The highest paid group in California on an hourly wage base is government employees. They average $20 an hour. Well, in all industries, it's $15.38, so they're $5 an hour over the average worker in California. But the thing that doesn't make sense to me is if we're in control of the government, they not only get to tell them what to do, they make more money than he does. It doesn't sound like we're in control at all, does it?
What this has demonstrated is the benefit of unionization for government employees. And you and I together, JR, we should be working to provide those kinds of unionized benefits to all people in all industries in America so that everybody can make as much as the people in that fully unionized industry of California government employees makes.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Absolutely. Give us a call. Tony Trupiano with you on this Monday evening. It is 24 minutes after the hour. The email address again, tony@thetonyshow.com. Ryan writes, now with Saddam captured, I think the Americans now have more faith in Bush just as the Britons would with Tony Blair if they found weapons of mass destruction. I know plenty of people who seem to have regained faith in Bush. Personally, I'm still skeptical, Ryan writes, and I'd like to see a new face in the office regardless of their political party. Now about the Almanac, he says, many words come to mind, paranoid, insane, dumb. I echo that, Ryan. I echo that indeed. Do people have more faith in President Bush now that Saddam is captured? I think not. Again, we'll talk about this a little bit more with Al Martin in the next hour, but Donald Rumsfeld even said that the capture of Saddam Hussein in the big picture means nothing but more American deaths, certainly because of retaliation reasons. Saddam Hussein is not at nearly the imposing figure as Osama bin Laden is, and it really begs the question, does this administration know where Osama bin Laden is, and are they holding out until closer to the next election cycle to, quote-unquote, catch him? Do they know that? And that's a very good question. You know, the problem with terror is it's not about one individual. It may live in the heart in a bigger way of Osama bin Laden, but the reality is Osama bin Laden is really a face on terror. He is not the face of terror, just one of the many. And terror lives everywhere. It is really a shame. It is truly a shame. So will we ever find Osama bin Laden? I think we will. And some would question whether or not he's even still alive, as there's some there's some reality to the fact that he it has been reported, and I think justifiably so, that he is very ill, that he has a kidney condition, and it's just one of those things. Are we going to just wait to pull the trigger literally until closer to the November election? Wait to see how the poll numbers are. We're going to go to the phones again. Our number 1-800-825-5937. That's 1-800-TALK-YES. And the email, once again, tony@thetonyshow.com. Let's welcome Grace, listening in Sacramento, California. Grace, blessings to the new year, and how are you tonight?
I'm just fine. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, on my mind is something I was rather surprised I never saw anyone pick up. I have one thing I got off of the Internet in January and one in August, and they both have to do with the fact that at least it's stated as a fact, the U.S. Republican Party is outsourcing its fundraising to India. That means that they're calling you from India to ask you for contributions, and I cannot believe they'd be so stupid as to do that, given the fact that we've got, about 9 million people or so out of work in this country.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because I bought a Dell laptop computer not long ago, and when I called tech support, I got India.
Me too. I just bought a Dell computer, and right, I got tech support, and it was India.
Now the real irony is the guy could barely speak English, and I kept on. Now, my last name is Trupiano. I understand that is really complicated for even some Americans, although
sounds
it really
Italian to me.
It is Italian.
You
but,
bet.
You know, Grace, how tough is Trupiano? Trupiano. Trupiano.
No,
okay.
No, it's a real piano. I can tell.
Right, absolutely. And so having to spell it 17 times for this schmuck, I finally just gave up and called back. And needless to say, I didn't get him, but I got somebody else from India. So it was really very frustrating for me. And the reality is that if the Republican Party truly is outsourcing, you know, one of the tricks they're pulling, Grace, I don't know if you're aware of this, people are getting letters from Republican leaders inviting them to a dinner to honor patriotic Americans in their hometown. And they get this letter, and then for X amount of dollars, like $500 or $2,500, you can attend the dinner in your honor, by the way, in your honor. And, of course, that is just a fundraising, it's a fundraising sleight of hand is all it is.
Yep.
Kind of crazy. Anyway, Grace, thank you for your call. If that is indeed true, I'd like to hear from other people. Again, we've got open lines to the top of the hour. We've got to get to the break. 1-800-825-5937 and tony@thetonyshow.com. We'll be back.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Season's greetings. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show, wishing all of you a very happy holiday season and a peaceful new year.
Some remote glaciers have become the final resting place for chemicals that were used thousands of miles away. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Chemical contaminants can travel far from where they were produced and then accumulate in some of the world's coldest areas. On high mountain slopes and inside the Arctic Circle, scientists have found high concentrations of pesticides and PCBs locked in the ice of glaciers. Jules Blaise is an environmental toxicologist at the University of Ottawa. He says there's a good reason certain chemicals tend to accumulate in these places. In temperate climates, they can evaporate easily in the warm air and drift in the winds. In cooler environments, they can condense again, especially if there's snow.
Snowflakes are very good at scavenging these chemicals from the air and depositing them on the ground. Because snowflakes are very cold and they have a very large surface area, you can picture a snowflake with its many spikes and shapes, which provide a very large surface area for these chemicals to adhere to.
If the snow melts, the chemicals can evaporate again and blow away. But if the snow falls onto a glacier and freezes, the chemicals are locked into the ice and start to accumulate. Blaise says he's found PCBs inside glaciers at high concentrations, even though the chemicals have been banned in the United States and Canada for decades.
Many, many decades of ice is stored in any given glacier, and many of the chemicals that we used back in the 60s are still stored in these glacial horizons.
When the glaciers melt, the water flowing away from them can carry chemical pollution into lakes and streams that would otherwise be pristine. The chemicals can build up in the tissues of aquatic animals, and Blaise says some lakes in the Yukon have become so contaminated that health officials have warned people there against eating too many fish. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back. It is 33 minutes after the hour. The number again, 800-825-5937. The email, tony@thetonyshow.com. Spider, glad you're out there listening. Very cool to have you with us. We've got Ann on the phone in Sarasota, Florida. We're going to go to her in just a second. I want to encourage you to call. We are open lines this hour. L. Martin in the next. And so let's welcome Ann in Sarasota, Florida. Ann, blessings to you in the new year. How are you today?
Hi, same to you.
Thank you.
Although I have my doubts with Bush in office, what the new year's going to be like.
Be time we kick his ass out of there. What do you think?
I would like to get a bumper sticker that says anybody but Bush.
I'm an ABB guy all the way.
What I'm calling about is you were talking briefly about the unemployment numbers.
Yeah.
I read something in the Wall Street Journal not too long ago that the actual unemployment numbers, when you take all of the people that are working part-time that want to be full-time and all the people that they consider out of the labor force, their benefits ran out, so they're not on their official list anymore, that the actual unemployment rate's almost 10%.
9.7%.
Right.
That is the truth.
Yeah, so that doesn't sound like it's a recovering economy to me.
It is not. It is not a recovering economy, and there's no question about that. And I don't know what you do for a living, or even if you have a job. But the reality is that there are a lot of people that are unemployed that are counted in what's called the underemployed. That they're not making enough money to pay their bills, so they're having to take on two, if not three, jobs. And I don't know if you'll recall during the Clinton administration, the Republicans liked to cite that. A lot of the jobs that were created were what they called McDonald's wage jobs.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that leads into the main reason I called tonight. I read a lot on the internet when I can, because I don't mainstream media now, it's pretty much propaganda kind of stuff. It's the Murdoch types and the Clear Channels and what they want you to hear. So you have to go outside of their box to find out the real news. I saw something about Bush is planning to introduce a new immigration reform bill. Have you heard anything about that?
Give me a little background.
Well, supposedly what it consists of is they want to set up on the Department of Labor website a place where employers would post jobs for like big construction jobs, things like that, post the jobs. And supposedly if Americans don't apply for those jobs, then they're going to be allowed to bring in guest workers from Mexico and other countries. And what this commentary was saying was that so they can take construction jobs and post them at $5.50 an hour, and if you can't get people willing to work for that, because what people can, you know, work a construction job and actually make a living to pay your bills doing that, then they can just go right down to Mexico and bring in all these guest workers and take jobs away, so they can, instead of having jobs that you advertise and fill for $9, $10, $12, $14 an hour, they can post them for $5.50. Don't get workers. Hey, go get them from Mexico. Bring them in.
Yeah, you know, and Ann, this goes back to something we were talking about Friday night. We were talking about unions, and one of the questions that came up were have unions outlived their usefulness in this country? And my answer to that is no, but unions need to reassert themselves now. All unions need to band together and basically tell the U.S. government to F off, that it's time to play the game that we're used to playing it. You want to hire people, you're going to hire American people. You don't like it, then you're not going to get the job done.
And it's not just union jobs. What I'm reading a lot of, and I'm starting to see it, it's starting to happen to some people I know, is that they're starting to take jobs like I'm in Florida, GTE took a bunch of their service call center jobs, moved them from Tampa over to India. So they're starting to do that kind of stuff to where those service jobs and even tech jobs, computer tech jobs and stuff, they're starting to quietly move them over to India and places like that. And they're talking like up to 500,000 paying tech jobs will be lost to India and other countries like that within the next 3 to 4 years.
Well, let me tell you an interesting story. I actually reported this on Mike's show about 4 months ago, 5 months ago, when I sat in on Mike's show. And there was a great story, the AP story that came out, that keeping in mind there is a huge time difference between here and India, okay? Here's what they didn't factor in when they sent all these jobs over there. That the young people that are working these jobs at $2 or $3 an hour are up all night long, but they're still expected to go to school and get their higher education. They're burning out. They're actually getting stir crazy. They're having real problems with stress now in India and sleep deprivation. It's creating a real problem. Now, anybody that's dealt with these people on the phone knows exactly what I'm talking about. They're confused. They can't understand what you're trying to say. And it's not because they don't understand English. It's because they're sleep deprived. They're having this has become a real serious issue. Now, nobody's reporting about this. I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to end up blowing up in the American corporations' faces, because the American people are going to finally get sick and tired of the poor service they're getting from these Indian consultants, that they're going to say, the hell with this. I'm not going to put up with it. I'm not going to buy your services. I'm not going to buy your products.
Unfortunately, though, it may take several years for all that to catch up, because they'll go from India. They'll move to, I know if there's, and I can't think of all the names, but a lot of the former Mideastern bloc countries were at trade shows over in New York recently, you know, touting that they can do those kind of jobs, service jobs, tech jobs, that kind of thing also. So I think they'll shift them around as much as they can. But while all this is going on, it's kind of like that story, you know, that they say that, you know, they came for the Catholics and I wasn't a Catholic, so I didn't say anything. They came for the Jews and I wasn't a Jew, so I didn't say anything. And, you know, it goes on and on down the line. And finally they came for me. And it's kind of one of those things that if they take people's segments and keep taking your jobs away, other people say, well, it's not my segment, so I'm not going to worry about it. But people better start worrying about it because it was just manufacturing jobs. And a lot of people say, well, manufacturing. Now it's clerical, it's service jobs, it's technical jobs, it's supposed to
it's every job. My wife and I were Christmas morning, we're driving to my sister's house, and the kids were saying, oh, 7-Eleven's open. Oh, the gas station's open. Oh, Walgreens is open. Oh, CVS is open. And I said to my 10-year-old son, Ann, you know, when I was a kid, nothing was open on Christmas Day. If you didn't have it before Christmas Day, you didn't need it. And so he said, well, why is this stuff open now? I said, because you have too many non-Americans, non-Christians living in this country that are just out for the dollar.
Well, it's not even that.
Ann.
We're told you have to work the holiday or you lose your job.
Well,
what are you going to do?
You know what? Then again, this is where the union voice comes in. All of a sudden, you know, if we stand up to this corporation, if we stand up to the big boys and we say, no, we're not going to allow this. We want to be with our families. What did you do Christmas Day, Ann?
I stayed home part of the day and part of the day was spent with family.
Okay. And did you enjoy that time?
Yes, I did.
And had you have had to work, would you have felt a little bit cheated out of your Christmas Day?
I would have felt a lot cheated.
Absolutely. And you're not alone. And, you know, Bill, I don't know what you did. I'm assuming you went spend some time with your mom, didn't you? I spent time with my family, and I had to work that day, I'd have been pretty pissed off. I just think we need to start standing up and saying enough's enough. And, Ann, you make a good point about all these jobs going overseas. It's the American people that can stop this from happening. They've got to stop sitting on their hands. They've got to get up. They've got
to
vote Democrat in this next election.
Yes.
I mean, this is a big, big problem. It's a big problem, and we need to stop sitting by and waiting for somebody else to do it for us.
I agree.
Well, Ann, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today, and happy holidays to you, and happy New Year. I want to remind you again, our number, 1-800-825-5937. That's 1-800-825-5937. And the email, again, tony@thetonyshow.com. I'll get to some email in just a moment. Let's go back to the phones. Welcome, Mike, in Rochester, New York. And, Mike, a pleasure to have you on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Tony Truppiano. We lost Mike. Mike, call back. We lost you somehow, and we'll get you on. Let me do go to some emails. Ryan wrote earlier, if you don't get a built-to-order PC, you get India, especially with Compact, Hewlett Packard and Dell. Gateway is the only company that I know of that still has American support on default configuration PCs. They might have moved their support as well. I can't be solid on that, though, since the last time I called their support department was about a year ago. Even worse, when I called Palm One to order a certain product, I got an India sales rep, had to go fetch another credit card and would call back. Kudos, I got an American guy that time. Well, good for you. Good for you. My friend Bill writes, Tony, I've read that Dell is starting to bring some of those jobs back because of bad feedback from customers. Bill, I hope that's true, buddy. I absolutely hope that's true because I've had all kinds of issues with Dell over their customer service. There's no question about that. A little bit, and let me again remind you, the number for the show, 1-800-825-5937, and the email, tony@thetonyshow.com. Shelby writes, riddle me this. I love the way you write, Shelby. How can testing all cattle not be good with regards to protecting our meat supply from mad cow? The answer, because it will uncover thousands of sick animals being consumed by Americans on a regular basis. This, of course, would spell disaster for the beef industry, which is near and dear to the Bush neocon base. Heaven forbid we do just that to save Americans from dying of holes in their brains. Could this be a cover-up to rival the 9/11 disinvestigation. There's no question about it. And one of the things we're going to talk about on the roundtable tomorrow night is, you know, going back to the Ambassador Wilson story and how his wife was outed. And, you know, where is that investigation at? Where's the September 11th investigation? There's still a lot of real unanswered questions that this administration has to fess up to. And again, we need to keep that progressive voice out there and going. We need to keep the dialogue going, because they're certainly not going to do it. The mainstream media is certainly not going to do it. Fox News won't do it. CNN's not going to do it. MSNBC's not going to do it. So it's up to us to continue to do it. I'm going to tell you right now, because there's another issue brewing that is near and dear to my heart, and people are starting to wake up to the reality of what's happening. Very, very quickly, I've shared this with you folks before, but very quickly, I have a weight loss support website. One of the products that I take that helped me lose weight has a compound in it called ephedra. Most of you know about ephedra because of the negative publicity it gets. It is being now banned. It's banned in California. It's banned in New York State. It's banned in Illinois. It may be banned in other states. I'm trying to get that information now. I now have people calling me, screaming, begging, crying, Tony, help us. Why do they keep banning this? This is the only thing that's ever worked for me, and they're banning it now. It's because we didn't stand up when I told people to stand up. You didn't make calls when I told you to make calls. You didn't go out and vote for the right people when I told you to go out and vote for the right people. And I'm not saying I've got all the answers. But, ladies and gentlemen, these are classic examples, something as simple as a natural supplement, that if it is not abused, if it is not overused, is safe and effective in helping people that are morbidly obese. But no, you people sit on the sidelines and you wait until it's too late to do something about it, and then all you do is cry and whinny and nay about it like some kind of jackass. So here you have an opportunity to change the course of the future. When we talk about the 2004 presidential election, it is about your generation. It is about the next generation in a very real, dynamic, and profound way. How long are you going to sit on the sidelines? Because I want to tell you right now, if the worst thing that happens to me is a Democrat gets elected and we don't get to bitch about George Bush anymore, I'm a pretty happy guy. I'm not Rush Limbaugh. Okay? I mean, Rush Limbaugh's still bitching about Bill Clinton. He's still bitching about him. By the way, if you saw George Bush's interview with Diane Sawyer before Christmas, he made a point of saying, and of course nobody else reported this, he made a point of saying that he inherited the recession. He actually said that he inherited the recession. Now, I'm not going to tell you that there wasn't a slowdown in the economy when Bush came into office. There was. He could have stopped it. He didn't. Al Martin's talked about that before. And we'll probably talk about that a little bit more in the next hour. We are going to talk about the economy at great length. But it's important that you realize that now that you have the opportunity and now that you have the voice, you need to use it. You need to use it. Great story today on one of the national magazine shows that I was watching about the presidential primary season. The Democrats are messing up everything. Not everybody's going to have a voice in this primary. I know you don't know that yet, but it's true. The caucuses, the primaries, everything's changed. Are you prepared for it? You don't even know what's going on, a lot of you. You need to vote for a Democrat. Yeah, the ABB, the anybody but Bush, will work. But you need to support somebody. If you've got a primary or a caucus, come into your town, get involved, volunteer, get active, donate money. Speaking, by the way, of getting involved and getting active, my friend Shelby at radiopower.org is one of those common sense visionaries in this country that is going to help elect the next president. I want to ask you to reach into your pocket and send her some money today. She does what she does out of the kindness of her heart. She does not make a dime doing what she does. I want you to support radiopower.org in a big way. I want you to support whatever Democratic candidate you have in a big way. And when it comes to the general election, as much as it bothers me to do this, I'm even going to support the DNC with a contribution because we need, well, first of all, we need to be very, very concerned about the Democratic Leadership Council, the DLC, L. Fromm's little group. Very disturbing what they're trying to do. Very disturbing. The centrist movement should scare you. We got to take another quick break here. 1-800-825-5937. Tony@thetonyshow.com. We got some more emails to get to as well. We'll take your calls and more. I'm Tony in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Oh, hon, it's cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh. So you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
My
fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday, Sunday, Sunday,
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday,
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Welcome back. A few minutes left before the top of the hour. Feel free to call if you've got something before we hang it up in this hour. We got L. Martin from L. Martin Raw in the next hour. I know you folks enjoy him a great deal. A lot of information to get to. The email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. Those of you that are sending me questions for Al, we'll get to them in the next hour, and I appreciate you doing that early and often. As a matter of fact, when I as soon as I announced Friday that I was going to be on Monday and Tuesday, you guys started emailing me, is Al going to be on with you? So, Bill, have you ever experienced Al Martin? He's a real trip, man. You're going to love him. Don't let him call you sweetheart when you call him, though. Jason was a little freaked out by that. But, well, anyway, that's a whole other show. Very quickly, I want to go back to Shelby's email about mad cow disease, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the USDA, is really doing some quick backtracking right now with regard to when this the cow that's been identified was, you know, fed and before all of the new quote unquote restrictions and guidelines came in. The Democrats, by the way, running for the presidency are fairly united in their message that the U.S. needs to provide aid to the beef industry. Tell me that lobby isn't working fast and furious. Where's Oprah when you need her? You know, that's actually, if it wasn't for the whole beef issue, Dr. Phil wouldn't have the career he has now, because that's how Oprah met Dr. Phil, was when she was on trial in Texas for her beef remarks. I want to, you know, Bill, one of my dreams is to be able to say something and have somebody's stock plummet. That means that I have true influence. Damn, can't even imagine that. The reality is that, every cow should be tested. The reality is we need to know, and I was listening to a show here on the network earlier today, and as Bill and I were chatting earlier, and I heard them, and some guy in the background had called the show and said, well, buy organic beef because, you know, organic beef is going to be clean. Who the hell told him that lie? What does that have anything to do with it? Trust me on this one. Buying organic doesn't solve your problem. I read a study not long ago. You know, I do a lot of work in regard to nutrition, and I read a study not long ago by an independent, it was done in a university study, that organic doesn't mean anything. It just means you pay more. That's all it means. You pay more. All right, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour. We'll be back on the other side of this. In the meantime, if you want to join us, do it at 800-825-5937. The email, tony@thetonyshow.com. This is the Mike Malloy Show, and you're listening to the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The Bush administration faced growing pressure on Monday to roll out stricter regulations to prevent another case of mad cow disease as officials tried to convince Japan and other major buyers to resume buying billions of dollars worth of U.S. beef. White House officials were worried about both the political fallout and the economic impact the disease could have at a time when the U.S. economy is showing signs of strength. The White House was looking at various regulatory options, but was wary of taking a dramatic step too quickly, an administration official said. Democratic presidential hopeful Wesley Clark's new television commercial includes a clip of him and Bill Clinton. It's the first ad of the 2004 campaign to include an image of the former president, arguably America's most popular Democrat. The clip is only a few seconds long and shows Clinton walking from a podium at the White House to place the Presidential Medal of Freedom over Clark's head, honoring his fellow Arkansan for his work in Kosovo as NATO's Supreme Allied Commander. Campaign advisors say the ad is meant to illustrate that Clark would be the kind of leader who not only has seen ordinary people do extraordinary things in their lifetimes, but who has been honored for such accomplishments. A car exploded in the Saudi capital of Riyadh on Monday night, witnesses said. There were no immediate reports of casualties. The Dubai-based Al Arabiya satellite channel said the explosion occurred under a car owned by a police officer who had parked outside a mosque. The blast destroyed the car and shattered windows in nearby buildings, Al Arabiya's correspondent in Riyadh reported. Cyber blackmail artists are shaking down office workers, threatening to delete computer files or install pornographic images on their work PCs unless they pay a ransom, according to police and security experts in the UK. The extortion scam, which is believed to have surfaced 1 year ago, indiscriminately targets anyone on the corporate ladder with a PC connected to the Internet. Blackmailers typically demand that unless a small fee is paid, they will attack the PC with a file wiping program or download onto the machine images of child pornography. More news after this.
Hi, my name's Maria, and I'm alive today because I was given CPR last year by Rick,
who took a class with the Red Cross after I received blood from Jamal, who gave blood
after being encouraged by my friend Angela,
who helped Jamal's whole family get the help and support they needed after losing their home to a fire.
When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. By getting involved with the Red Cross, you never know how many people your actions will affect. To get involved, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
Animal control officers are looking for the owner of a dog who rode a commuter train from Greenwich to Harlem on Christmas Eve. The trouble is, officials are unsure whether the dog's holiday trip began in Greenwich or somewhere farther up the Metro North line, which runs as far north as Waterbury. Officials will run an advertisement in the Times this week looking for the owner. After a week, the dog will be put up for adoption. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
At last, the golden age of television is upon us. But alas, this is not the golden age of TV quality, but literally the age of TV gold, when advertisers have become the programming. Leading the way is Disney's ABC television network, which has now opened its expanse of our public airwaves to complete domination by sponsors. I don't mean just the ads that sponsors run on its shows, or even the not-so-subtle placement of sponsors' products in the shows, but rather sponsors that become the featured character of the show. Sears has stepped out as the first of ABC's new advertising stars, putting itself forward as the centerpiece of the network's latest reality show called Extreme Makeover: Home Edition. Not that Sears has any actual dramatic talent, but it does have more than $1 million that it paid to ABC to write the corporation into the script of this 6-part series portraying stories of home renovation. The actual actors will be using Sears tools in their work, adding Sears appliances to the renovated homes and decorating with Sears furniture. If that's too subtle for viewers, there'll also be Sears trucks delivering merchandise. Branded workers from Sears Home Improvement Centers will occasionally arrive on the scene, and the show's cast will make trips to Sears for supplies. The commercially crass rationale for this all-Sears show is that advertisers need a way to outfox you TV viewers who are using your clickers to zap past those annoying commercial breaks. So forget the ads. The sponsors will be the shows. To fabricate this great leap forward, ABC even has a senior vice president for integrated marketing and promotion. He assures us that while, quote, Sears plays a role in the personality of the show, ABC would never take it to the point where it would seem like a bunch of logos slapped in a show. This is Jim Hightower saying, see, there still are a few artistic standards in television.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Right now, right here, right now.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
With special guest host Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody. Hour 2 of the Mike Malloy Show on this Monday, the 29th of December, Aught 3. Pleasure to be with you as always. Of course, the way to get in touch with the show during these hours are the phone number, 1-800-825-5937. That's 1-800-TALK-YES. Or you can simply send an email to tony@thetonyshow.com. tony@thetonyshow.com. David in California wants to correct me. We'll let him do that. He says, organic certainly does mean something, Tony. It means our produce hasn't been grown with pesticides and growth hormones or altered genes or chemical fertilizers. Please explain why you say these are not worthy of paying extra for. I'll be buying organic whenever possible. I think your comment is irresponsible. Are you saying there is no difference between organic and non-organic? It's a bit like saying there's no difference between Republicans and Democrats. You're not well informed. Well, David, I appreciate that comment. First of all, I'm going to ask you, when we're growing organic vegetables, et cetera, are we growing it in dirt that has not been polluted air for? Question number one. Question number two, just because it hasn't been treated with pesticides, et cetera, does that indeed in and of itself make it safe? Inform me, David. Send me information. I'll be happy to bring myself up to speed. With regard to organic organically fed beef, chickens, etc., is there such a thing as an organically raised cow, organically raised chicken, turkey, etc.? Just share. I can't know everything. So absolutely, go ahead and empower me. I love to be empowered. Absolutely. All right, as I promised, Dale Martin is with us in this hour. Let me give him his proper due. Al, of course, is a political economic analyst as well as America's foremost expert on corporate and government fraud. His columns to lmartinraw.com are one of the most popular websites on the Internet today. His memoir, The Conspirator, Secrets of an Iran-Contra Insider, one of the best-selling independent books available, by the way, from National Liberty Press. I'll give you a number in just a minute where you can get a copy. Still doing quite well. Unprecedented in publishing history, this book is a detailed account of criminal government operations, including state-sanctioned fraud, drug trafficking, and illicit weapons sales. We welcome once again to the show, Al Martin. And Al, as always, it's a pleasure to spend some time with you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Tony, good evening.
We've got a lot of information to get to in this hour. Al, if you wouldn't mind indulging me for just a few minutes, we've as we often do, have some carryover from the last hour. Didn't want to leave you on hold. We do have a caller let's welcome Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Joe, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Tony Truppiano. Pleasure to have you with us.
Yeah, I called up to talk about Howard Dean and trouble he's gotten himself into here lately.
With regard to?
Well, basically, seems like to me the guy's got his head up his butt. I mean, the comment he made about Osama bin Laden the other day seemed like to me he was doing really, really, really good, even though Dennis Kucinich is my first candidate for president right now. I was basically a supporter of Howard Dean, what he was doing, but it was like, man, I mean, it's stunning when a guy makes a comment like that. And
you're referring to Dean's comments that we shouldn't prejudge.
I'll tell you why exactly that was stupid, because I seem to remember that Howard Dean is a supporter of the death penalty, and Howard Dean was in favor of going to war with Afghanistan and bombing the hell out of them. Now, if we're not going to prejudge the guilt of Osama bin Laden and Taliban government being involved with the what happened on September 11th, then what the hell were we doing bombing the hell out of Afghanistan? Why would Howard Dean be supporting something like that?
Well, did you read the interview he did with the Associated Press yesterday?
It was a follow-up,
Joe. And basically what he said was, as an American, he believes Osama bin Laden should get the death penalty. As president, he believes in due process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he did clarify his remarks. Now, in hindsight, it's easy to do that. I understand what you're saying. Howard Dean has a lot to learn about the national stage, and he's learning very quickly, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, I just I wish he'd get it together, because up until now, I think it was he that had his fellow Democrats on the run instead of the other way around. And I don't know.
I kind of
wonder if he screwed up his big chance.
I don't think so. Joe, I appreciate those comments, but I don't think so. And I appreciate you taking the time to call. Anyway, let us welcome back Al Martin to the show. Al, thanks for letting me get that in. You know, there's a lot going on. One of the things that we've been, actually some of the themes we've been talking about, Al, in the last hour included some unemployment figures that are actually, if we factor in a lot of different things, our the national employment figure is closer to 10% than the government is giving us the figure of somewhere about 4.5% to 5%. The reality is the unemployment numbers are closer to 10%. Now, As I know you're aware, the NASDAQ closed over up over 2,000 today. A lot of people see this as good, positive economic news. The economy's on the rebound, Al, that we should see a strong first quarter in 2004. This is just a bunch of bull crap.
The markets now are, I would illustrate the recent pronouncements by the likes of Warren Buffett and George Soros. The domestic equity markets now are as overvalued as they were in August of 1987 on a relative basis. That's why Mr. Buffett and Mr. Soros, Jimmy Rogers, Hugh Grantham, the very famous billionaires who made their money trading in the last 30 years, are now all short U.S. equities and short the U.S. dollar and long gold. The market's rebound has been brought on by $1 trillion of deficit spending by the Bush-Cheney regime. It is the same old dangerous game of Bushonomics, i.e. debt-financed prosperity. The employment, we have seen 300,000 new jobs created in the last 5 months. If you compare that with $1 trillion of deficit spending it took to create those 300,000 new jobs, it would have been cheaper simply to give those 300,000 people a check from the government every week.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned that our conversation in the last hour. You said it would have been cheaper to give people $50,000 a year to stay at home.
Absolutely. And the problem is that in the first quarter of 2004, the economy will stay strong. The fourth quarter we're going to lag when all the numbers are in later in January. First quarter, we will see the effects of the upfront effects of tax cuts for 2004. Then the second quarter in the summer, the economy is going to go into a double dip again, simply because the Bush-Cheney regime cannot institute any more tax cuts with a projected $600 billion budget deficit for next year. There simply is no room for any more tax cuts. Therefore, I would guess by next July or August, when the markets have reversed direction and are under pressure, the regime is going to have to look for yet another event, something to divert people's attention away from the scourge of Bushonomics.
And again, I had suggested in the last hour, perhaps that will be the sudden capture of Osama bin Laden.
Well, I think it would have to be something more dramatic than that. As I've mentioned in some of the recent stories that I've written, that come next August, I wouldn't want to be an office worker at Sears Tower.
Yeah, well, you know, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Let me ask you a question. We are also, although, again, we saw strong economic indicators in the markets today, there was also a side story, Al, that most people don't pay attention to, that the dollar is the weakest it's ever been against the euro. Why would that be important to the domestic economic picture?
The Bush regime touts a weaker dollar by saying that it helps American exports, which tendentially it does. Unfortunately, a cheaper dollar, which obviously and appreciating foreign currencies, should help American exports. But those exports are being dwarfed by ever-increasing trade deficits due to Bushonian trade policies, particularly with China, which now constitutes a third of our $500 billion per annum total trade deficit. If the Bush administration would start getting tough with China and force the Chinese to revalue their currency, the yuan, then that trade deficit would come down. And we see that the Chinese have resisted that, and the Bush regime is frightened to push the issue.
And they're frightened for what reason, Al?
Because it would disturb the greater agenda, and that is that China is literally becoming the new third leg of the Bushonian stool. By that I mean that Japan, for instance, and Saudi Arabia had traditionally been the largest financiers of U.S. debt. Now China has become the largest financier of U.S. debt, and in fact controls 13% of all U.S. Treasury securities outstanding. Japan and Saudi Arabia now are both sellers of U.S. Treasury instruments. The Bushonian regime, in order to support Bushonomics and the enormous deficits they create, need China to prosper, to continue to be able to purchase U.S. Treasury debt to support ongoing deficits, and in the last analysis, to support the entire national debt, 83% of which was created from 1981 to 1992 and from 2001 to present.
Well, let us also keep in mind that as the political season is truly at our doorstep, Al, we can say it's been ongoing for a long time now. Truly, beginning in January with the Iowa caucuses, we are in a heavy battle. This administration, the Bush administration, really doesn't feel that it can lose this fight, do they?
From the Bushonian perspective, I suppose they feel, how can they lose? That is, they will next November we will have computerized voting machines in this country, which are controlled by Bushonian sympathetic corporations. Furthermore, the regime now has the power, the absolute and unfettered power, to cancel or postpone elections. Said power exists under the Patriot One Act. They're able to outraise the Democrats 10-1 in political campaign money.
All right, hold that thought, Al. We got to take a quick break here. Al Martin, my guest, AlMartinRaw.com. Again, the number 1-800-825-5937. Tony at thetonyshow.com. Let's hear from you. We'll be right back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
I want everyone to listen up and understand clearly. We need some good weekday programming ideas. I don't know why no one is writing this down.
Oh, geez. Oops.
We need some good weekday programming ideas that will appeal to all angles and opinions of all listeners. Any ideas? Johnson.
Oh, you said the wrong name.
It's Jameson, sir.
Jackson, Johnson, Jasper, whatever.
Maybe we can pick up Limbaugh and convince him to move more to the middle.
That's good. Get out of my office. Yeah, get out. You're an idiot.
Durr.
Spicoli.
It's Smith, sir.
Yeah. Give me something good.
Why don't we just have some shows that will appeal to everyone's opinion? It'll make the listener base more diverse and make for a good show.
A talk show that everyone will listen to because their opinions will be supported by other listeners and welcomed by the show host. That's brilliant. Good job, Swanson.
You're on the ball.
Everyone take this next holiday off.
Yeah.
Right.
Wait, someone has to work. Doug Steffen's live.
Oh,
come on.
The best
best in progressive talk radio. Weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back. 24 minutes after the hour. L. Martin, my guest, at lmartinraw.com. You'll want to join us, 1-800-825-5937. The email, Tony at thetonyshow.com. Before we get to our next caller, somebody sent me a 7-page email because I printed it during the break. Guys, I can't read a 7-page email during the show and have my guests comment on it. That's just not fair to the guest, and I don't have time to read the whole thing. If you're going to have it, like, you knew Al was going to be on because obviously somebody sent it before the last hour, but it was still during the show. You need to send that to me long before the show so I have time to read it and do a little research and kind of clue Al into what's going on. I can't get to your emails, what I'm trying to tell you. I have no problem taking those kind of emails. You just need to give me a little space here, guys. There's no way I can get to it. It's literally, Bill, 7 pages long. Here it is. Yeah. All right, anyway, let's go to the phones and welcome Will in Atlanta. Will, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. I am Tony Trupiano. Al Martin's with us. How are you today?
Good, sir. I appreciate it. That's probably my email, and you're a sport to even open it. Al, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. I'm sorry it was so long. I'll give you a thumbnail on it. We know Bush, the crime family, includes participation in the Kennedy assassination in Dallas. We know that from two FBI documents and his own public comments that have been recorded. There's no two ways about it. We know the CIA was found by a jury to have been culpable in the Hunt versus Liberty Lobby suit down in the federal court in South Florida. And we know the Bush Sr.'s father was in on the creation of Adolf Hitler after the Catholic Church said it was okay to vote Nazi. Now we have the son foisting off this 9/11 on us. We got a 125-foot-wide airplane supposedly hitting the Pentagon, leaving a 30-foot hole with no trace of the wings, seats, baggage, personal effects, or bodies. It's so clear. I hope guys with exposure like you can broaden your attack beyond Harkin Energy, beyond Iran-Contra, and get to the specifics of this treason that these criminals are foisting off on us. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. I'd love to hear your response.
Well, before Al responds, Will, that was your email I was referring to, and I certainly wasn't criticizing you for sending an email of that length. I just obviously don't have time to read
that. Oh, no,
sure,
I understand.
Okay.
You're a sport. You're a champ for even mentioning it. That's your star, man. That's so cool in this day and age for you to even entertain looking at something like that. I wish you would study it. All the links are hot. They go to documents found on the web.
And I will. I just obviously can't do that during the show.
Can you shoot a copy of it to Al?
I'll be happy to do that. Anyway, LD, do you want to comment on what Will had to say?
The caller is correct in pointing out that the machinations, for lack of a better word, of the great and all-powerful Bushonian cabal, to use self admitted cabal member Paul Wolfowitz's own words publicly 4 months ago, are nothing short of treasonous. Although I am not, and I go to some lengths to tell people I am not a learned conspiracy theorist per se. I am much more on the financial and economic side. But certainly in the financial and economic domain, what occurred during the Reagan-Bush regime, that 12-year period, was unconscionable and treasonable, wherein a regime turned the United States of America from the largest debtor nation, the largest creditor nation on earth, to the largest debtor nation on earth, and effectively destroyed the public finances of the nation. Whether this can be recovered is now certainly in question.
Al?
Yes, sir.
I think that we also need to see this in the context of what Kennedy did to the Federal Reserve. He disenfranchised them during his administration. He removed them from the money supply issuance.
Yes, he did, sir. And the result of that, by the way, the result of that was a burgeoning bout of inflation starting in 1964, which built and built and finally exploded in the late 1970s. We are still in, people don't understand that we are still in a long-term inflationary cycle.
But that inflationary cycle you mentioned is part of the Vietnam buildup, and the money went into the Sealand Corporation, into TRW. Anyway, the point is we have corruption under this country, and it's explicitly provable as treason.
Okay, we need to get to the break. 1-800-825-5937, Tony at thetonyshow.com. We'll be back with Al Martin. I'm Tony Truffiano right after this.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Patriot Seekers, Mike Malloy here. I hope you have a happy and peaceful holiday season.
Some remote glaciers have become the final resting place for chemicals that were used thousands of miles away. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Chemical contaminants can travel far from where they were produced and then accumulate in some of the world's coldest areas. On high mountain slopes and inside the Arctic Circle, scientists have found high concentrations of pesticides and PCBs locked in the ice of glaciers. Jules Blaise is an environmental toxicologist at the University of Ottawa. He says there's a good reason certain chemicals tend to accumulate in these places. In temperate climates, they can evaporate easily in the warm air and drift in the winds. In cooler environments, they can condense again, especially if there's snow.
Snowflakes are very good at scavenging these chemicals from the air and depositing them on the ground. Because snowflakes are very cold and they have a very large surface area, you can picture a snowflake with its many spikes and shapes, which provide a very large surface area for these chemicals to adhere to.
If the snow melts, the chemicals can evaporate again and blow away. But if the snow falls onto a glacier and freezes, the chemicals are locked into the ice and start to accumulate. Blaise says he's found PCBs inside glaciers at high concentrations, even though the chemicals have been banned in the United States and Canada for decades.
Many, many decades of ice is stored in any given glacier, and many of the chemicals that we used back in the 60s are still stored in these glacial horizons.
When the glaciers melt, the water flowing away from them can carry chemical pollution into lakes and streams that would otherwise be pristine. The chemicals can build up in the tissues of aquatic animals, and Blaise says some lakes in the Yukon have become so contaminated that health officials have warned people there against eating too many fish. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Suzanne Gowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey! This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud!
This is Steve Damschreiter.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah!
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family, cheers. Have
a happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus!
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Truppiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Absolutely. Welcome back. 33 minutes after the hour. Tony in for Mike Malloy. Mike will be back on Friday with a live show. We're here tonight and tomorrow night live. And want to remind you, tomorrow night we're going to do a roundtable discussion, the year 2003 in review. You'll want to stay tuned for that. I have an esteemed panel of guests that will join me both in studio and on the phone. And I'm saving a seat for you. Again, the number to call, 1-800-825-5937. And the email address, again, tony@thetonyshow.com. Either way you want to do, it's fine with me. Al Martin is with us from almartinraw.com. By the way, if you'd like a copy of Al's book, The Conspirators, you certainly can find it in books everywhere, but the easiest way to do it is to call this number, toll-free, 866-317-1390. That's 866-317-1390. Ask for The Conspirators, and they'll be happy to get a copy out to you. Al, welcome back to the program. You know, one of the ongoing themes, and you and I have actually talked about this throughout the entire summer when we were on in the afternoon, you know, talking about Dick Cheney's involvement in Halliburton and other corporations, and of course the all of these non-bid government contracts that are helping make American corporations, at least some of them, very top heavy and very wealthy. Dick Cheney seems to be, you know, kind of hiding in plain sight. Where the hell's he been lately, and how fat is he getting? And I mean that in a financial way.
Well, Dick Cheney is being increasingly kept from public view on purpose by the White House because he is becoming, I think, now more of a liability than an asset. Whether it will be a Bush-Cheney ticket next November is yet to be seen, frankly. But in Cheney is probably the most blatant example of Bushonian fraud, more recent Bushonian fraud. That is to appoint the vice president and to give him the sole discretion to parcel out Iraqi rebuilding contracts on a no-bid basis, then have him direct 54% of said contracts to a corporation that he is a major shareholder in and still receives annual remuneration from, and that remuneration is still based on how many government contracts he steers to Halliburton, is a blatant example of corruption.
You know, but Al, how can this so blatantly be happening and them getting away with it?
Because you're not hearing about it in pro-Bushnet media.
Man, you know, again, it's one of those things where you say it just sounds too obvious to be true.
The problem is in the fourth rung of the leg from the reason why Bush Cheney will probably prevail in 2004 is the control of mainstream media now and their ability to discredit any other media forum that criticizes the Bushonian regime or points out any of their fraud, malfeasance, graft, corruption, or lies.
Yeah, it's an absolute shame. We're going to go back to the phones. Again, Al Martin is with me. Check out almartinraw.com. Again, if you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. 800-825-5937. That's 1-800-TALK-YES or tony@thetonyshow.com. Jerry in Tulsa, Oklahoma, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Tony Truppiano with you. Al Martin along as well. Happy New Year to you.
Well, thank you. Good evening, Mr. Tony and Mr. Martin.
Good evening, citizen.
And a couple of weeks ago on the Malloy Show, I brought up something I'd seen on the BBC, speaking of alternative media. This was on of course I've got cable, but on a BBC Euromax network, obscure network, report about how the troops are handing out $60 a month, I guess, tribute to Iraqi citizens to keep them quiet and satiated or satisfied. Earlier this evening on CNN, I saw a report where the American Army just bought several Iraqi imamates. They didn't indicate whether they were Sunni or Shiite, Peugeots. And there were 12 of them in a lot when they showed the imamates receiving their Peugeots. And the imamates, of course, were grateful to accept them. I guess it's tribute or whatnot. And but as they gave, as the American Army, I guess, public relations person handed over the keys to the Peugeots, the mommates, of course, took their turn to admonish the American soldiers for going after Osama bin Laden. I'm just outraged by stuff like this. Why isn't he charged for treason? Let me ask you, Mr. Martin, what is this? What are we doing over there?
What we are doing, sir, is pouring blood and treasure of the American people into an endless sand pit that will undoubtedly develop into a quagmire. More than $200 billion of the U.S. taxpayers' money already poured into Iraq, nearly 500 casualties. The longer we stay, the greater that toll will become. Untold future expenditures that the U.S. taxpayer will be responsible for in the package that we have essentially provided for Iraq. George Bush, the great champion of capitalism, yet we are turning Iraq into a socialist welfare state.
That's right. We
paid
are.
For by the U.S. taxpayer.
That's right.
We have offered Iraqi and will give Iraqi citizens free universal health care, free universal education, monthly stipends for gas, water, petrol, food, etc.
Well, let me ask you, Mr. Martin. You say you study the financial aid, and I've been to your website a couple of times, but I need to go back there again. What is Bush's fantasy that he's going to get out of this when he leaves office? Iraqi oil ownership to Iraqi oil leases?
The great prize is the 6 billion barrels of oil underneath the sands of Iraq.
And Bush is going to own all that.
Which is the second largest reserve on the planet, contained within any single nation state. And the Bush-Cheney cabal will have de facto control of that oil and will have ultimately de facto control of the pipeline leading through the Kurdish-controlled north into Turkey. And as I point out in my article this week on my website, that pipeline is being whose prime consortium contractees are Halliburton and Bechtel, which I call Bushtel, will be extended into the Transcaucasus regions, Azerbaijan, Uzbekistan. This is the largest reserve of oil on the planet. Is in the 8 Transcaucasus
That's right.
states.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And I've heard that one of the new cons overall goals, again, is to be able to compete with OPEC in terms of that's one of the reasons why they want control over the reserves in that area. You know, I just
American citizens, sir. What people I think Americans don't realize, by and large, is the enormous decline in the value of the exchange value of the United States dollar that has occurred since the installation of the Bush-Cheney regime. The U.S. dollar has now lost 53% of its value compared to a basket of currencies of our trading partners. That has artificially inflated the price of oil in the United States. What Americans are doing in their capacity as purchasers of oil is effectively subsidizing the rest of the world.
Well, and that's why I think that one of the solutions I was hoping Mike was back tonight just so I could talk to him about this. But Mr. Fuller, in some of his books, Critical Path, talked a lot about foreigners owning American chartered multinational corporations. And one of the things I just loved was a little poem he had in his book, or a little line stanza, very quickly, and it's the American citizen, small person talking to Jack the Beanstalk giant, the multinational corporation, and it's fee-fi-fo. Fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell the blood of an American, be it checking, credit, or savings debt. I'll need his dough to make my dividend bread, or something to that effect. It's been a while since I've read.
Now, well, we're going to leave it with there, Jerry. I want to thank you for your call, and I honor your anger. I understand exactly where you're coming from, and you're truly one of the real Americans. We're going to go back to the phones. L. Martin, my guest, again, the number 1-800-825-5937. The email tony at thetonyshow.com. We'll go to Armin now in Florida. Armin, pleasure to talk to you. Happy New Year.
Okay, Happy New Year to you, and you too, Al.
Good evening, citizen.
Al, it's my understanding you did cover it briefly, but not to the technical extremity that I'm going to bring about with percentages. But I heard on Tom Hartman today that Cheney has 433,000 stock options for Halliburton that he has to exercise within a year. And that itself, in my opinion, is criminal enough when he's blatantly violating the Constitution and war profiteering with his partner, Bush, that I think he should immediately be served a subpoena and be removed from office. And Bush objects. He ought to. They ought to take him with him, and they ought to lawfully and legally, by our Constitution and by our law and international law, install officers till we have a free election. What do you think?
Referring to the stock options, sir, I will tell you what is publicly known. It is publicly known that Cheney does have a block of stock options in Halliburton, exercisable at some time in the near future. The exact number of those stock options is not known, but believed generally to be between 250,000 and 500,000. These stock options are controlled by the Cheney Family Trust through a shadowy offshore subsidiary in the Cayman Islands. The exercise price of these options is believed to be somewhere between $9 and $12 a share. At the current value of Halliburton, for instance, if he were to exercise them tomorrow, it would net the vice president a profit of approximately $50
million. $50 million. Could you spend that kind of money, Armin?
Could I spend it?
Yeah.
I tell you what, I'd probably have more friends than anybody you know.
Yeah, well, God knows that's true. Does that satisfy Armin?
Yeah, but what's his point about my argument that, I mean, they're way above beyond the law of reasonableness, and they're blatant. This is a blatant stage for this regime.
Armin, look, I agree with you absolutely. The problem becomes a matter of practicality. That is, who would indict George Bush and Dick Cheney? From whence would that indictment spring? Deputy Reichsführer Ashcroft?
How about a federal judge that's not afraid of these people?
Find a federal judge.
Find one that isn't afraid of the power of the Bush-Cheney regime.
You got to be kidding me. There's not a judge in this country now that would stand up to these two-bit punks.
No, there's not, Armin.
That's a sad state.
The few remaining, we got to remember, the Bush-Cheney regime has quietly acted to retire, shall we say, although they are life appointments, many federal judges, particularly at the appellate level, where said judges have been encouraged to retire, 169 so far during the Bush-Cheney regime. There are now very few, only 14% of all sitting federal judges in the United States were judges appointed during a regime other than Reagan Bush or Bush Cheney.
That's my point. It only takes one.
You're correct, sir. But who among those federal judges, particularly in light of how the Supreme Court has slapped down and overturned any anti-Bushonian regulation that has come out of the federal circuit courts and appellate courts, particularly the 11th Circuit, and the Sixth Circuit, which still does have Carter appointees and a few Clinton appointees on them, they have been viciously slapped down by the Supreme Court.
Okay, so you're telling me our judicial system's gone, basically. So if that's the case...
There's a twofold problem, sir. That is that the Bush-Cheney cabal now controls or has de facto control of the federal judiciary. The second problem is the vast expansion in presidential powers given to George Bush with the passage of the Patriot One Act and the 53 pieces of ensuing legislation now passed that have been attached to that act, particularly the dangerous and sinister Emergency Expansion of Domestic Law Enforcement and Military Powers Acts. And with the upcoming Patriot II Act, which will be marked up in Congress in February, almost certain to pass the Constitution, which is already virtually meaningless, will become meaningless.
All right. I don't mean to interrupt you, Armin. I want to thank you for your call. We're up against the break. The caller that just called in, we lost you. Call back. Let me give the number out again. 1-800-825-5937 in the email, tony@thetonyshow.com. It was Bill in Ypsilanti, right? So why don't you give us a call back, Bill. We'll get you back on. Let's quickly go to David in San Francisco. David, welcome to the show. You're on with Tony and Al Martin. How are you tonight?
I wanted to ask a couple of things. First one revolves around history. The early part of the Republican Party, the Civil War. Are you aware of what were called the Radical Republicans and Secretary of War Stanton's? Essentially, he dragged on the war so that he could profiteer, as well as to politically set the Republican Party as the majority party.
Yes, sir. I am aware of Secretary Stanton and Secretary Stimson's, as well as then Secretary of the Treasury Salmon P. Chase, former senior Republican senator of the state of Ohio, retired in 1860 to become the U.S. Treasurer. They did act together to extend the war as much as possible. In fact, those three men at one time controlled half of all U.S. Army contracts for heavy munition and artillery.
All right, hold that thought, Al. David, stay with us. Stay with us through the break. We've got to get to the break here, though. 800-825-5937, tony@thetonyshow.com. We'll be right back.
Heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum strikes my lines, a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. My Lanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength My Lanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you are ready to buy a home, work with someone who will work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Welcome back to the It's Not Your Fault You Didn't Know show. We're talking about the best way to spend your weekends, and we have two special guests right now. On the phone is the Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Arnold. And our other guest in studio is George W. How are you today, Mr. Bush?
What's the matter?
Okay, all of our listeners want to know what you do on your weekends. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can listen to the best of left-of-center political talk radio on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network.
That's amazing.
George, your final words.
Stop it!
Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, same time. Have a nice day.
Just shut up!
The best of progressive talk radio can be heard on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network. For more information, call 1-800-397-8255 or go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hasta la vista, baby.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Ta-da! We have caught somebody doing something right.
Yes, indeed, folks. Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich has introduced a bill into the United States Congress called the Benjamin Franklin True Patriot Act. And Dennis Kucinich's law would repeal sections of the USA Patriot Act that authorize sneak and peek searches, warrantless library, medical, and financial record services, and the detention and deportation of non-citizens without meaningful judicial review. Beyond the Patriot Act, the bill also cements the fundamental right of attorney-client privilege and restores transparency in the Department of Justice and Homeland Security by revoking FOIA, Freedom of Information Act secrecy orders, along with other important provisions. As Dennis Kucinich said, and I quote, after September 11th, Americans did not authorize the deterioration of the first, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, and 14th Amendments.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Truppiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And we are back. Just a few minutes left in this hour. We've got Dave in San Francisco on the line with Al Martin. And Al's going to be with us in the next hour. So if you want to get on with Al, you can call any time. And we'll make sure that you get on with them. Again, the number 800-825-5937. And the email, tony@thetonyshow.com. I am in for Mike Malloy. He'll be back on Friday quickly before the hour's up. Al and David, I'll let you go back at it. Al, where were we when we walked away?
The caller was talking about the Civil War and the enormous amount of profiteering that occurred during the war by senior Republican members of the Lincoln administration, and how that money essentially formed the basis of the Republican Party.
Yeah, absolutely. And what was even more despicable, the Republican Party essentially got started in 1848, if I remember right, and they were only approximately 20-25% of the nation's population. The Democrats were very strong in the South, and so the Republicans essentially figured out that if they could take away the voting rights from the South, they would have to drag the war on forever in order to infuriate the North. But it was a given that the North was going to win. But they essentially had to drag on the war interminably, cause untold death in order to create taking away the suffrage, the right to vote from the South. And so with that in mind, Stanton not only practiced that with full force and ambition, but he also profiteered from it. And so essentially what I'm wondering is that do you see any similarities to, for example, the prison industry, the idea that somebody has got to take away, I guess I didn't phrase it enough. If the Republicans were only 20-25% of the population, by taking away the voting rights of 50% of the population, their minority would all of a sudden become 50-50 or better. The only people who could vote would be in the North. So that would all of a sudden boost the Republicans to become a majority party. And they almost pulled it off. Lincoln sneaked out of D.C. the night before Appomattox, had a meeting with all of the generals, told them they had to demand suffrage for the South, and it foiled the radical Republicans' plans. And so it's said that Stanton saw to it that Lincoln was killed. So I'm just wondering if you see any similarities about that same scenario where they're essentially creating a prison industrial complex to take away the rights of blacks.
All right, David, I appreciate your comments. We're up against the top of the hour. Al, we're going to have to get to that answer on the other side. We've got news at the top of the hour. I'm Tony Truppiano in for Mike Malloy. This is the IE America Radio Network, also heard on radiopower.org. Support them. We'll be back other side of this.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
This representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A car exploded in the Saudi capital of Riyadh on Monday night, witnesses said. There were no immediate reports of casualties. The Dubai-based Al Arabiya satellite channel said the explosion occurred under a car owned by a police officer who had parked outside a mosque. The blast destroyed the car and shattered windows in nearby buildings, Al Arabiya's correspondent in Riyadh reported. The Bush administration faced growing pressure on Monday to roll out stricter regulations to prevent another case of mad cow disease as officials tried to convince Japan and other major buyers to resume buying billions of dollars worth of U.S. beef. White House officials were worried about both the political fallout and the economic impact the disease could have at a time when the U.S. economy is showing signs of strength. The White House was looking at various regulatory options, but was wary of taking a dramatic step too quickly, an administration official said. Democratic presidential hopeful Wesley Clark's new television commercial includes a clip of him and Bill Clinton. It's the first ad of the 2004 campaign to include an image of the former president, arguably America's most popular Democrat. The clip is only a few seconds long and shows Clinton walking from a podium at the White House to place the Presidential Medal of Freedom over Clark's head, honoring his fellow Arkansan for his work in Kosovo as NATO's Supreme Allied Commander. Campaign advisors say the ad is meant to illustrate that Clark would be the kind of leader who not only has seen ordinary people do extraordinary things in their lifetimes, but who has been honored for such accomplishments. Cyber blackmail artists are shaking down office workers, threatening to delete computer files or install pornographic images on their work PCs unless they pay a ransom, according to police and security experts in the UK. The extortion scam, which is believed to have surfaced 1 year ago, indiscriminately targets anyone on the corporate ladder with a PC connected to the Internet. Blackmailers typically demand that unless a small fee is paid, they will attack the PC with a file wiping program or download onto the machine images of child pornography. More news after this.
Hi, my name's Maria, and I'm alive today because I was given CPR last year by Rick.
Who took a class with the Red Cross after I received blood from Jamal, who gave blood
after being encouraged by my friend Angela.
Who helped Jamal's whole family get the help and support they needed after losing their home to a fire.
When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. By getting involved with the Red Cross, you never know how many people your actions will affect. To get involved, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
The mother of a 2-year-old who hurt himself on a playground in Stamford, Connecticut, is suing the city for income she says the toddler is losing because the injury prevents him from working as a model. Dina Mater filed a claim last week saying she wants compensation for her child's medical bills, pain and suffering, and a lost wage amount due to his inability to audition or take modeling or commercial jobs while his head heals. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
At last, the golden age of television is upon us. But alas, this is not the golden age of TV quality, but literally the age of TV gold, when advertisers have become the programming. Leading the way is Disney's ABC television network, which has now opened its expanse of our public airwaves to complete domination by sponsors. I don't mean just the ads that sponsors run on its shows, or even the not-so-subtle placement of sponsors' products in the shows, but rather sponsors that become the featured character of the show. Sears has stepped out as the first of ABC's new advertising stars, putting itself forward as the centerpiece of the network's latest reality show called Extreme Makeover: Home Edition. Not that Sears has any actual dramatic talent, but it does have more than $1 million that it paid to ABC to write the corporation into the script of this 6-part series portraying stories of home renovation. The actual actors will be using Sears tools in their work, adding Sears appliances to the renovated homes and decorating with Sears furniture. If that's too subtle for viewers, there'll also be Sears trucks delivering merchandise. Branded workers from Sears Home Improvement Centers will occasionally arrive on the scene, and the show's cast will make trips to Sears for supplies. The commercially crass rationale for this all-Sears show is that advertisers need a way to outfox you TV viewers who are using your clickers to zap past those annoying commercial breaks. So forget the ads. The sponsors will be the shows. To fabricate this great leap forward, ABC even has a senior vice president for integrated marketing and promotion. He assures us that while, quote, Sears plays a role in the personality of the show, ABC would never take it to the point where it would seem like a bunch of logos slapped in a show. This is Jim Hightower saying, see, there still are a few artistic standards in television.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Special guest host, Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody. I am Tony Trupiano. Pleasure to be with you on this Monday, the 29th of December, odd 3. Al Martin with us from the last hour. Just a brief reintroduction if you're just joining us. Al is a political economic analyst as well as America's foremost expert on corporate and government fraud. He has an amazing website, one of the most popular websites on the net, lmartinraw.com. He is also author of the book The Conspirators, Secrets of an Iran-Contra Insider. And he stayed with us over from the last hour. Al, let's quickly go back to David in the last hour, who had asked if there were some similarities between the 1860s Republicans and modern day Republicans.
Of course there are similarities. Just the modern day Republicans are better at it. In terms of state-sponsored fraud to support a political party and its various institutions. Obviously, it is much more complex today than it was then. However, historically speaking, the last caller did make some interesting points, and that is the continuation of fraud within the Republican Party that occurred since 1860 to date, and that, in fact, the fraud never ceased, to which I would refer the caller to Orville Grant, the Ulysses' brother, and the great Republican swindle of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which was the first public trust fund created in the nation, the subsequent fraud of Rutherford B. Hayes in the Santa Fe ring, Grover Cleveland in the so-called Republican Custom House fraud ring.
And the list goes on. So,
oh, many historical examples.
All right. Well, I wanted to clean that up from the last hour. I wanted to talk a little bit about Saddam Hussein and the capture. I wanted to also give out the contact information before we do anything. If you'd like to join us, the number 1-800-825-5937. That's 1-800-TALK-YES. Or the email, tony@thetonyshow.com. Either way is fine. And you can interact with Al and I either by phone or email. Obviously, Al, a couple weeks ago, you wake up on a Sunday morning, and of course it's big news. Saddam Hussein has been captured. Of course, the story now has changed, twisted, and turned many, many times in the subsequent weeks, although most Americans aren't hearing anything but that initial story. The truth is, and there's reason to believe, that we didn't capture Saddam Hussein at all.
I don't think, Tony, by now, I don't think anyone seriously believes that, except half of this country who watch Bill O'Reilly and Mr. Hannity on Fox News. But in fact, as I reprinted the article from AFP, Agency France-Presse, that Saddam was initially identified, his whereabouts were initially identified by a Kurdish faction. And that was kept quiet in order for U.S. forces to, quote, capture Saddam Hussein, close quote. And then there was the subsequent bungling of the actual supposed site of capture, wherein first CENTCOM, initially a CENTCOM command in Iraq, initially released file footage that Saddam was supposedly in a coffin-sized bunker underground, and then that was revised the next day to say, well, the bunker was actually larger, and then they showed the bunker where he was actually found, which was a significantly larger room that had a fan in it and a little cooking stove and such, which was, by the way, 13 miles away from where we claimed originally to have captured Saddam Hussein. What let some of this out of the bag is when the U.S. Army sergeant that we heard interviewed on Fox News, who said he was going to throw a grenade down the initial casket-sized tomb, and Saddam Hussein said he wanted to negotiate, that was all a lie, frankly, and was subsequently recreated.
Well, you know, it amazes me in such an incredulous way. Al, we can pick stuff to lie about, and I understand that politics being the game that it is, but why would they, and I don't know that you know the answer to this, why would they lie about where they captured it and how they captured? I mean, the reality is, for most Americans, it was a victory, all right? And it was a short-lived victory because the reality, as it comes back, and we'll get to this in a moment, is that now even more American lives are at stake in a retaliatory way. Why would they lie about where he was in that whole story? Was it just good soap opera?
George Bush, having spent now over $200 billion of the American taxpayers' money in Iraq, and the lives of 500 U.S. service personnel, CIA, State Department personnel, etc. It was important for the Bush regime to claim that U.S. forces captured them. The Bush regime is increasingly desperate for vindication of its policies.
Well, okay, and we as so let's take a bit further look, Al, at the capture of Saddam Hussein. Of course, there have been reports that narcotics were found in his system. Could one of the truths be that he was drugged, brought to that location so the American soldiers could indeed say that they at least not captured him, but certainly found him there?
That is the speculation that both BBC and AFP put in their stories, that in fact he was drugged and brought to that location. Of course, you know, we have to remember that at this point, the Department of Defense has not even claimed that the person that they've captured is Saddam Hussein yet, and have officially said that they will not make such a declaration until the so-called DNA test comparisons are complete, which the Department of Defense seems to be dragging on forever. And what struck me with some humor is when General Brooks was asked about the DNA testing, because they were concerned that Saddam had so many doubles, and General Brooks had said, well, when we captured who we believed to be Saddam Hussein, we took a hair from his head to compare with genetic analysis of his blood. When you think about it, it's absurd, since they don't have any genetic material from the real Saddam Hussein to compare it with.
Well, now, do you know that to be true, that they don't have any real DNA evidence from the real Saddam Hussein, whoever the real Saddam Hussein is?
That's what Donald Rumsfeld said last Wednesday.
Well, all right, now that brings up another question. You know, we've already heard that Paul Wolfowitz does not plan on staying on if there is indeed a second Bush administration. Which brings me to Donald Rumsfeld. You and I have been talking for 5 or 6 months now, Al, if not longer, about Rumsfeld's future. Do you see him as being the major scapegoat in the Iraq war?
Absolutely. He will be gone, I would think, either by the end of September, October of this year, or they might keep him on into a second Bush regime for a few months. But I would tend to think his political fate is sealed. He is one of the logical scapegoats. And Wolfowitz, of course, has always been a problem because he sticks out like a sore thumb. Someone who is so intricately connected to the Bushonian cabal, a member of the Trilateral Commission, a member of the Kissinger Group, a member of the Bilderberger Group, etc. I thought it was unwise to make him Deputy Secretary of Defense to begin with. And I think his fate was sealed when he publicly acknowledged the existence of a Bushonian cabal and the fact that he and others who were members of said cabal referred to it as the Bushonian cabal. When that was printed from an interview with the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, which snuck it out through the BBC, which rebroadcast it here in the United States through their U.S. production subsidiary Lionheart Productions in Washington, I think that really sealed Wolfowitz's fate.
So who do they replace Rumsfeld with?
Frankly, at this point, I wouldn't know. But it would obviously be someone who knows, who has the correct Bushonian qualifications to be Secretary of Defense, i.e. someone who doesn't have any knowledge whatsoever of defense.
All right, now before I go back to the phones, I've got to ask you this question. Is President Bush Sr. still distancing himself from his son, or further distancing himself from his son?
It would appear so. We see in the interviews that he has granted, particularly the October interview with BBC, where he clearly distanced himself from Jr. His refusal to go out on the campaign stump with his son, his refusal to host any Republican fundraising groups or to even appear at the annual luncheon of the American Enterprise Institute would indicate that he continues to distance himself from Junior.
All righty. Let's go back to the phones again. Our number 1-800-825-5937. And the email tony@thetonyshow.com. We'll get to some email in just a few moments. Charles in Augusta, Georgia. Charles, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How you doing? It's a pleasure to hear Al.
Good evening, citizen.
Al, two questions. Where do you see the Iraq situation going in the next year militarily, and where do you see the situation going in Iraq politically as far as the Kurds and the Sunni and the Shiite and all that mess?
Well, sir, certainly between now and the end of this year into the elections, Iraq is going to be more of the same. More failed occupation efforts by the United States. We will, in Iraq this year, pour another $100 billion of the American taxpayers' money. Who knows how many more casualties, 200, 300, 500 more. Simply more of the same. And those who would say, the Bill O'Reillys and Sean Hannitys of this world, who try to say that Iraq is not an American quagmire, are out of their minds. I don't know what else a quagmire is after you spend $300 billion of your citizens' money and pour 500 or 1,000 lives into a country. What else is the definition of a quagmire? In terms of the Kurdish situation, of which I wrote an article about this week, I think the Kurds in northern Iraq will probably form some sort of autonomous or semi-autonomous state within a new Iraqi state that will be quietly supported by the Bush regime. The Kurds, General Barzani, who was close to the CIA, has already announced that he would like to put on the board of economic advisors of an autonomous Kurdistan Dick Cheney and Henry Kissinger and Frank Carlucci.
Imagine that. Al, we got to take another break here. Charles, thank you for your call. Again, 1-800-825-5937, tony@thetonyshow.com. I am Tony Trupiano, in for Mike Malloy. L. Martin, my guest. We'll take a break. Come back right after we do this.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
The
The Mike Molloy Show.
In an interview with the Associated Press, Kennedy said the case for going to war against Iraq was a fraud made up in Texas to give Republicans a political boost, and the money for the war is being used to bribe foreign leaders to send troops. Well, Tom DeLay, the bug man. He reminds me so much of Dennis Hopper's character in Blue Velvet. Remember Frank Booth? What was he sucking? What was that, nitrous oxide? That's what DeLay reminds me of. Only DeLay wouldn't be doing nitrous oxide. DeLay would be doing one of those weird bug-killing chemicals, like parathion. You know, it's my understanding, that stuff gets you real high right before it kills you.
That's the lowest thing I've ever heard. The lowest thing I've ever heard coming out of Kennedy's mouth.
This is the Frank Booth character from David Lynch's Blue Velvet. There's no question about that, True Seekers.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
It's the Mike Molloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Welcome back. 24 minutes after the hour. You've got the number, the email, tony@thetonyshow.com. L. Martin is my guest. Go to lmartinraw.com. Interested in his book, The Conspirators, just go to a bookstore anywhere and buy it or call toll-free 866-317-1390. That's 866-317-1390. Al, welcome back. I want to get to some of the email that we've received throughout the program today that we haven't had a chance to get to. Ski Anderson, a broadcaster and journalist that I respect a great deal, listening to the show tonight, Al, says the Patriot Act would be marked up in February 04. There's an article that said that the president signed part of what is the Patriot Act 2 on the day Saddam Hussein was captured. Do you know much about that?
There were, yes. What happened was when the Patriot 2 Act began to get a little exposure and the Bush regime started to have to defend it a little bit more, the Bushonian faction in the House, led by that nut Tom DeLay, separated some of the Patriot II Act out. One of the important provisions, that's what we're talking about, that was signed as an independent bill. The important part of that, or the most important amendment to that for the Bush-Cheney regime, was the ability was to give the administration the ability to target certain First Amendment rights groups and other protest groups, environmental groups, anti-abortion groups, for instance, environmental groups, anti-war groups, can all now be specifically targeted and infiltrated and surveilled upon any type of constitutional protection.
And this all happened on a Sunday.
The bill was he had to wait. I think the bill wasn't actually signed until Monday.
Well, it and a lot of this done without fanfare. As a matter of fact, the article that Ski sent to me has a December 13th date on it, but again, got very little national coverage.
It did, and you see in the last couple of months how effective Bushonian control of the media has been in shutting down any discussion or even any review of the Patriot II Act. As I've noticed, very few citizens even know what its key provisions are. One of which I have just mentioned, the other key provision is an extension of the so-called warrantless search authority which was contained under the Omnibus Warrant Act that was contained in Patriot One. But this is a complete expansion of warrantless search, which would effectively do away with Fourth Amendment protections.
And again, the American people sit on the sidelines cheering for a guy waving their flag. As a matter of fact, you have a term for those flag-waving Americans, do you not, Al Martin?
Yes, I refer to them in all stories I write on my site, and you see printed elsewhere, as NIFWICs, the naive flag-waving crowd.
NIFWICs.
Waving about their American flags made in China.
Well, you know, and again, we saw, here we go, let's talk about the president's popularity numbers. Certainly after the capture of Saddam Hussein, we saw a jump in his popularity go up 4 percentage points. That's a big deal for the president. So at least he got something out of that. Of course, I had referenced earlier, I'm sure that you agree with me, that the capture of Saddam Hussein, although was perhaps significant and important, will mandate a retaliation by those still loyal to Saddam, and that means more American blood will be shed. But he does get his 4 percentage points out of it. Al, I know you feel very strongly about this.
I do. As a matter of fact, that was very cheap, those 4 points, in terms of what actually cost the American people in the so-called capture.
All right, well, let's talk about that on the other side of the break. In the meantime, if you want to join us, we've got another half hour of the Mike Malloy Show to go. I'm Tony Trupiano. The number 1-800-825-5937. The email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. We've got more emails to get to. We'll be back right after this.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Some remote glaciers have become the final resting place for chemicals that were used thousands of miles away. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Chemical contaminants can travel far from where they were produced and then accumulate in some of the world's coldest areas. On high mountain slopes and inside the Arctic Circle, scientists have found high concentrations of pesticides and PCBs locked in the ice of glaciers. Jules Blaise is an environmental toxicologist at the University of Ottawa. He says there's a good reason certain chemicals tend to accumulate in these places. In temperate climates, they can evaporate easily in the warm air and drift in the winds. In cooler environments, they can condense again, especially if there's snow.
Snowflakes are very good at scavenging these chemicals from the air and depositing them on the ground. Because snowflakes are very cold and they have a very large surface area, you can picture a snowflake with its many spikes and shapes, which provide a very large surface area for these chemicals to adhere to.
If the snow melts, the chemicals can evaporate again and blow away. But if the snow falls onto a glacier and freezes, the chemicals are locked into the ice and start to accumulate. Blaze says he's found PCBs inside glaciers at high concentrations, even though the chemicals have been banned in the United States and Canada for decades.
Many, many decades of ice is stored in any given glacier, and many of the chemicals that we used back in the 60s are still stored in these glacial horizons.
When the glaciers melt, the water flowing away from them can carry chemical pollution into lakes and streams that would otherwise be pristine. The chemicals can build up in the tissues of aquatic animals, and Blaze says some lakes in the Yukon have become so contaminated that health officials have warned people there against eating too many fish. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, yes, thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back. Feel free to give us a call. You just got the number. The email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. According to recently uncovered documents in Iraq, the Los Angeles Times will report tomorrow that a Syrian trading company with close ties to the ruling regime smuggled weapons and military hardware to Saddam Hussein between the year 2000 and 2003, establishing Syria as the main channel for illegal transfers to Baghdad during the UN embargo. And the Los Angeles Times will report that tomorrow. Al, does that come as a surprise to you at all?
Oh, no, no. It's further further paving the way for a potential invasion of Syria next year, should it be necessary to distract public attention away from the scourge of Bushonomics.
Yeah, and as we were talking on the show Friday night, I mean, you know, there was a caller that now, very profoundly stated, you know, today it's Iraq, you know, there's the Koreas. There's so many different places that we can place our stressors on and take the American people's mind off the domestic challenges in front of them. Al, somebody had sent an economic question that is an excellent question, so I wanted to get to Mona's email question. And it was, Tony, so where do we put our investment money? Should I reinvest my IRA in European Asian countries' stocks?
That is what where you should put your money, to answer the emailer, really depends on a lot of factors: your time horizon, how long you intend to have the money committed. If you're a long-term investor, which you probably are, if you're IRA 401k, the only place to be, in my opinion, is gold stocks or a good quality gold mutual fund.
Okay, well, and that does answer that question. Remind people, again, the number 1-800-825-5937, the email address tony@thetonyshow.com. Also want to remind you to go to lmartinraw.com, which is where you'll find a lot of information on what Al is talking about. And, again, the number to get his book, if you don't want to go to the bookstore, 866-317-1390. Al, something you and I talked about months ago is going to make headlines tomorrow, finally, and it's a horrible story. It's a treacherous story. It is a heartbreaking story, Al, and that is the suicide rate among American GIs. I just brought this up on the show Friday. Everybody thought I was out of my freaking mind when I said it. It'll come out tomorrow that the suicide rate among American GIs is startling even the experts. What the hell's going on over there?
Well, you know, as you may know, Tony, I wrote an article on the very same subject matter 3 weeks ago that you can now see in the archives of my website, wherein I pointed out the efforts the Department of Defense were going to try to minimize the impact and to try to prevent the American people from learning about the suicide rate among U.S. troops in Iraq. I point to a report, the Department of Defense report, that wound up being leaked through the Defense Intelligence Agency to BBC, wherein it pointed out the problems of increasing suicide, the problems of increasing narcotics use by U.S. troops stationed in Iraq, the problems of increasing allegations of rape of Iraqi women being committed by U.S. service personnel. This is a whole ball of wax that the Department of Defense has gone to great lengths to try to keep quiet. I think next week you will find they will no longer be able to keep it quiet.
Well, you know, and again, just reading the article that was in the Chicago Tribune today, which will make headlines all over the country tomorrow, Al. Now, the number they're using is there have been 18 confirmed suicides since the end of combat in May. So being that I understand the way the government works numbers, that number's probably somewhere doubled. Now let's talk about another reality, which is drug trade and drug addiction. Are you hearing that we're seeing an increase in both the black market of drug trade and drug addiction among U.S. troops in Iraq? And Afghanistan, for that matter.
Yes, you will hear more of that coming in some of the large print outlets by next Wednesday or Thursday. The growing narcotics use of U.S. troops stationed in Iraq and the booming trade that Iraqi narcotics dealers and how they are profiting by it and how those profits are winding up in the hands of pro-Hussein Fayyadin guerrillas who are currently setting off bombs and doing all sorts of things to kill more of the very same troops.
Well, you know, and one of the things that I find rather odd about the suicides, going back to that for a moment, among American troops that have served or are serving in Iraq is that much of this is happening after they're leaving their tour of duty. What the hell are they seeing that's so heinous, Al, that suicide becomes their only option?
Tony, the problem I would think is that we have a lot of troops in Iraq, many reservists, for instance, National Guard units, that have never been in a real combat theater before. They are not used to the harsh realities in a combat theater. And nor are they used, like regular troops are, they're not used to being part of a conspiracy, part of a grand lie for the sake of political manipulation. Which tends to be rather depressing if it's something you're not used to. How many of these flag-waving, 19-year-old, fresh conscripts from South Carolina are currently in Iraq that believed everything they had been told and taught about America the Great and the Good, and suddenly they're confronted and with America the Not-So-Great and Not-So-Good?
So just the reality of the truth is enough to shock and really just crumble their very foundation in which they believed.
Of course it is. I mean, the years that I worked in the Reagan-Bush regime in the 1980s, taught me about reality and the reason why such things as Jack Daniels and Prozac are the Republican crutch of choice.
Wow, just absolutely amazing. All right, somebody else had an economic question. You had answered the long-term question, gold, gold stocks, gold certificates. What about short-term investment sale?
Oh, God. It depends. I would need more information. It depends how short-term the person's talking about.
10 years.
10 years?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not short-term. I mean, if you're talking about 10 years, you still want to be in gold stocks, silver stocks, precious metals in general, mutual funds, preferably to individual companies. Mutual funds to look at, I can't obviously recommend any specific mutual funds other than to say look for those mutual funds that are heavily weighted with Canadian mining companies, which tend to be very well managed, and they also tend to have the largest spread between cost of production and current market value of any gold mining companies on the planet, and they tend to have operations in more stable countries. One of my favorite little silver stocks continues to be Pan American Silver. I had talked about it earlier this year. Of course, it's doubled in value since then. But where you want to be now is in recognition that we are beginning a new inflationary cycle. You want to be in commodity-related stocks, metals, foods, fibers, not the retailers of these, but the producers, the actual beginning of the pipeline, those people that own the mines, that own the land, that produce the raw commodity product.
All right. And somebody else sends an email and asking if real estate, of course, depending on where you live, is real estate still a decent investment?
No. In terms of individual pieces of real estate, that is a person going out and buying a piece of property, either for investment purposes, cash flow, or whatever, I would say no. If you're looking at the medium term, let's say 3 to 5 years, real estate investment trusts that are non-leveraged, that are heavily oriented towards apartment or condo construction, i.e. not commercial or industrial properties, you know, a lot of those still yield a pretty good 7%. Those are still good for a while. But the real estate market is overwrought, shall we say, in this country. And if you look at some of the statistics, which I report on every week from the National Brokers Association and the NRA, the National Realtors Association, you find many troubling statistics in real estate. Such that now 1 in 16 of all pieces of property in the United States are in foreclosure, a rate that is expected to double by 2010.
All right, well, that is certainly a clear answer to the question, stay away from real estate. Hey, Al, I want to talk a little bit more about Iraq. I want to remind people, if you want to join us, still time to do that, 1-800-825-5937, the email tony@thetonyshow.com. Obviously, the goal is supposedly to make Iraq independent, that they are going to self-govern. We don't seem to be much closer to that reality, although it's awfully, well, I guess now it's early in the game. We didn't think it would be early in the game when we were told this, when this thing started. Who's going to head up this new government, and what can we and when can we expect that to start to solidify?
The Bushonian cabal will do everything possible to try to have their hand-picked boy and cohort in fraud, Ahmed Chalabi, head up the new Iraqi regime. And they will probably at least support him and try to ensconce him as a puppet. But ultimately, Iraq is going to go the same place that Afghanistan is going to go, and that is, it is going to become a radical Islamic fundamental state.
Okay, so where does that put us in regard to our goal of democracy?
It means that all of the billions of the taxpayers' money thus spent in Iraq, all of the blood that has been poured into that piece of sand, will ultimately be for naught.
So there is no such thing, as we were talking about, you and I talked about at the beginning of the outbreak of the conflict in Iraq, with the beginning of the bombing, that there is no way to democratize Iraq.
No. Democracy doesn't work for everybody. That's particularly true in Arab nations in the Middle East. And those, you know, to be critical of those on the left who try to push this concept of democracy all the time, as being the be-all, the cure-all, are wrong. Democracy doesn't work in all places, particularly where education and literacy rates are very low. You do need strong-handed governments. Where Iraq is going is where Afghanistan is already at. I think that's the simplest way to put it. We have spent $57 billion of the taxpayers' money in Afghanistan, 216 American lives. The country is now completely destabilized. Allied troops now do not even control the capital city. Our hand-picked puppet, Mohammad Karzai, cannot even leave the presidential palace safely. The warlords have returned. The Taliban is now stronger than it ever was. The money that was spent for this diversion in Afghanistan was a complete waste. And how often do you hear about Afghanistan on mainstream media anymore?
Never.
And the reason you don't hear about it is because it's an embarrassment and a waste.
Al, isn't the truth that there is no way to fight a war against terror?
As I've pointed out before, much to the consternation of the naive flag-waving crowd, terrorism can never be won or defeated by military means, in that it is not a military problem, it is a political problem. The only way terrorism can be defeated is through political compromise. The way that compromise must be reached is that countries that the United States has traditionally supported in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, for instance, Egypt, must stop acting to repress minorities within their own populations that then form terrorist organizations to fight U.S.-sponsored regimes and ultimately to fight the United States, knowing that it's American money that supports those regimes.
Well, somebody just sends an email. Let me just share this with you. It has come to my attention, the emailer writes, that the majority of troops sent to the Middle East at this time hail from the Pacific Northwest. It is part of the concerted effort to destroy the economies of California, Oregon, and Washington state, that is, all because we form a United Democratic Pacific Front. She asked that I mention this on the air. You know the guys in the service listen, but don't make an issue of this. Your thoughts on that, Al?
Frankly, I was unaware that the majority of troops are from the northwestern states. She may have read that someplace. I would remind the listener that the majority of all U.S. armed forces come from six states south of the Mason-Dixon line.
All right. Very quickly, somebody writes, Al, is this a good time to buy a personal home? They were interpreting your remarks as it's not a good time to buy real estate. Obviously, interest rates are still consumer-friendly to a great degree.
Well, let's put it this way. I mean, if you're buying a home that you're going to live in, a private home, piece of residential property, single family, whatever, duplex, whatever, and if you're getting it at sort of the right price, you know, don't chase it. If you are going to finance it, always, as I tell everyone, try to stay away from the 30-year loans. Get a 15-year fixed loan. Now, interest rates are rising and are going to continue to rise throughout next year and will begin rising precipitously thereafter. Don't get an adjustable loan anymore. Now you want a fixed loan. And you want, if you can afford it, a 15-year loan. In that interesting statistic many people aren't aware of, in a 30-year loan, you don't gain equity in the property until 6 years and 9 months. In a 15-year loan, you gain equity after 2 years and 9 months.
All right. Richard, go buy that house today on the 15-year loan. Al Martin, stay where you're at. We're going to wrap things up the other side of this. I'm Tony Trupiano in for Mike Malloy, 1-800-825-5937. Tony at thetonyshow.com. The email. We'll wrap it up the other side of this.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a twinkle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Yeah.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back. I'm just about out of coffee, so that must mean the show's just about over with. Want to thank Al Martin for being with us. I want to remind you, his book, The Conspirators, Secrets of an Iran-Contra Insider, available in bookstores everywhere, or by calling this toll-free number and telling Yuri, I want that damn book and I want it now. Call 866-317-1390. That's 866-317-1390. Don't forget to go to lmartinraw.com. A lot of great information there. He's got a subscription website. Absolutely fantastic information you will not find anywhere else. Will they, Al?
Absolutely not.
All right. Damn it. Buy the book. Go to the website. What the hell? Anyway, hey, Al, I want to thank you for being with us today and being so generous with your time. As always, I enjoy being with you. Obviously, the audience enjoys you as well, although Bill did share with me during one of the breaks there was a woman that called and wanted to ask why I had such a neoconservative on the program today.
Neoconservative is not me. Remember, I am a recovering Republican scamsketeer.
Okay. Now, Bill, am I lying? Did she not say he was, like, real, way too conservative for the program? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just absolutely crazy. So, anyway, Al, you know, you can't fool everybody, buddy. Anyway, Happy New Year to you, Al. It's always a pleasure to spend some time with you.
Well, thank you very much, Tony, and I look forward to being with you again.
And I know that'll happen come hell or high water. Al Martin, once again, don't forget, get the book. check out lmartinraw.com. That's going to pretty much clean it up for us today. I will be back again for Mike tomorrow night, and we are going to have a roundtable discussion. We're going to look at some of the issues that came up and out and about around in the year 2003, and we'll get some diverse opinions and perspectives. I'm saving a seat for you. I want you to interact with us tomorrow night, so feel free to do that. As always, if you want to contact me, email is tony@thetonyshow.com. Many of you have been kind enough to want to know what's going on in my career. Send me an email. I will keep you updated. There is a new show on the horizon. I'll give you more details as they become available. In the meantime, if you're not going to be with us tomorrow night, I want to wish everybody a happy new year. Mike will be back live on Friday, and you can look forward to him then. And I want to thank you for being with us tonight. I want to thank everybody for interacting, all the emails, the phone calls. It's been a pleasure to sit with you. Ski, it's nice to know you were out there. Bill Vellner, as always, saluting you, pal. And that'll do it for me on this Monday night. I'm Tony Truppiano. God bless each and every one of you. This is the IE America Radio Network. Well, those around me criticize and sleep.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time.
I didn't think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, no.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m.